it's that time of year again. You know what time of year it is.
Yeah. I know what it is.
Turn my goddamn mic on. There we go.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's fine.
I'm terribly sorry.
Behind Enemy Lines, episode number 33. Contrary to popular belief, it's 67 from 100, not 61.
Listen, you got 39 stuck in my head.
Ha ha. Well, you know, welcome to number two of season two of Behind Enemy Lines.
We call it the Deuce Deuce.
The Deuce Deuce.
The Deuce Deuce. I just came up with that. We don't call it that. Brought to you by our friends at Ballast Point.
Finally, it's catching on.
We got two people thinking Ballast Point sponsors us now. And our friends at Anchor, who actually do sponsor us. I'm pointing at the wall.
Okay. I was like, where is he pointing to? Yes, Anchor. Anchor is sponsoring us. We're getting monetized. We're
pennies.
Growing.
Pennies on the dollar. Pennies. Literally pennies on the dollar.
They're
but it's more than your podcast is making, so shove it.
They're getting a goddamn bargain, if you ask me. Next up, we're getting a press pass. And we're just going to be able to hang out in the locker room, even when there's not even a game going on.
Full disclosure, I'm not going to do any work in the locker room. I'm just going to kick it.
I'm just going to go in front of Ring's locker room and touch myself.
I think he'd appreciate it. It's a nice gesture. That's normal for
he's
the
captain. It's respectful.
It is very respectful.
I'm sure that's what every new player has to do. Like Keaton Parks probably had to do it.
Oh, you think Sans had to do it before the game on?
I mean, they have to wait till – is he 18 yet?
Ooh, good question.
Yeah. See, this.
So if you foul him, do you go away for assault on a minor?
It depends how physical.
Hey, Bryce, what do we have going on the podcast today?
Oh, hey, I think we had a game.
Yeah, big first game of the season, no big deal.
Yeah, you know, going up 2-0 at half, then bottling it up, packing it in, almost losing it. But, you know, coming away with a point on the road. And what feels is a perpetual disappointment, first game of the year at Orlando.
Yeah, we will get deeper into that later into the pod. What else are we doing today?
We got a lot in store for us today. There's some general MLS chatter. You know, there's been some Champions Leagues going on. Mm-hmm. There's been some upset Neymars, you know.
Oh, the shooketh.
The shooketh.
Neymar the shooketh.
Happeneth.
Oh, my God. You thought crying Jordan was a meme. Wait until you see shook Neymar.
So, hey, put that chub away. We'll talk about that in a little bit.
You're right. No, what else do we have?
No, you're excited.
I am.
We also have some TIFO news for game one. We want everyone to get on board and get in it.
Bryce, it's game two. This is just the first game.
Well, game one at home. God damn it.
Thank you.
Okay, I'm sorry. And then also.
It's okay. We all make mistakes.
We will be touching on some 24-hour game, the second annual, which, you know, it's a good thing. Let's have some tradition and some good special news for one of us.
Got to tell you, I am very excited about the 24-hour game. And we will tell you later on which one of your favorite podcasters will be performing and will be available for autographs.
Who could it be? I expect at least none of you to show up, but we'll see. You know, we have tens of listeners, most of them Danny Chediak and Nikki Chediak.
And my mom.
And your mom.
She likes it. She just wished we didn't talk about anal penetration as much. What's it called?
Pegging?
Thank you.
Good. All right. We're already on the road for next year having pegging on our jerseys. I want to get a scarf. I don't think they'll let it into the stadium.
Next year's little like TRN waist scarf. Logo on the jersey is just going to be a strap-on.
Yes. Yes. That's what it should be. But Andy Drelick thinks it's a bad idea.
Oh, well, you know, he's just dance at a picnic.
Boo! I'm just kidding. We love you, Andy.
So let's talk about Orlando.
Jonathan Lewis going to a 40 from distance. Oh, count it. Goal for New York City FC.
All right, that was the Univision call of the first goal of 2019 for New York City Football Club. Lewis finding Ofori, who rips a low dipper left side of the keeper, right side of the keeper, left side if you're watching it on TV.
Hits the post. Probably the only good call from the game. The rest of the commentating was pretty atrocious.
Oh, it was pretty horrendous. But let's focus on the positives of the call.
I guess.
That being... You know, Ofori ripping a great shot from outside of the box and fooling the keeper. But also, our boy Jonathan Lewis getting the start and getting the assist.
It's important. It's the big question coming in this year was no striker.
No striker.
How are we going to score goals without David Villa? So if there's one great takeaway is that we got two goals on the road in Orlando that people actually do show up, even if they're all terrible fans. But mm-hmm. they do show up and they get loud. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. us scoring two goals out there. Very impressive. And Ebenezer Ofori opening up the account for 2019.
Yeah, a guy you don't see scoring a lot of goals, but when he does, they're normally important goals.
I feel like we're going to see him take a significant step forward. Like we just, he was on loan, I believe, and then we bought his contract.
And then we bought him out, yep.
He's got something to prove. Like he was on loan before, you know, trying to get minutes, struggling to get on the field, and now it seems like Domi likes him in the middle of the field. So
I mean, you can also say the same about Lewis. He was really an outcast last season, leaving most of us scratching our heads as to why. Every time he came into a game, it looked like he had, you know, just an ounce of magic,
yeah,
that little final extra burst to find the ball to the box.
I mean, that's the reason why, though. Like when Jonathan Lewis came in, it was like he's magic. You know?
Absolutely.
But if Ofori didn't start, we're like, all right, whatever. It's like, that's a wash.
I got to tell you this, Ofori, great depth person for FIFA 19. Great. If you're going to play with NYCFC, hold on to him. He's cheap and he never gets injured.
That's not like Mata.
Exactly.
How many games is he going to miss this year?
I'm going to go over under on 7.
I mean, I'd take the over on that easy. Easy. He already missed one. It was almost like a joke. It was like the week leading up to the game. It was like, injury report, Materia, glass legs, Ronald glass legs, Materia.
Spends more time on the trainer's couch than he does on the pitch.
It's disappointing. Let's,
right, so let's go from some good news to some worrying news. This was just the call.
O'Neal creeping forward. It's O'Neal. Playing Mueller, the equalizer! Just not quite.
All right, so I played that for just one reason. It was because when I was cutting the highlights and the audio, this was a great rip. This was a rip from just outside the box, curling towards the left post, and Johnson is in an angle to make the dive, and he just watches it sail by the post. And it wasn't close. I mean, it wasn't far away. There was barely any gap between the ball and the post. So that was something that we saw from Johnson all game. He didn't want to get his shirt dirty.
I can see people were saying that he was worried someone's going to head the ball in or something. But I mean, like, no one was close to it. Like, you got to attack the ball. Like, if you're going to attack in the air, it seems like he was frozen. Like, he didn't know what he was going to do. It was just deer in the headlights. And he was just hoping someone hit it over the bar.
I don't think he was expecting the velocity on the shot that it came out. But still, I mean, look at the first goal they scored, too. That was, you know, a looping ball that should have had a keeper's hands on it. But he made a bad dive. He misjudged the shot. And we're back to 1-1 in a place where, like, it's hard to walk. Well, not last season. But normally, it's hard to walk away from points. And as we all know from last year, this team blows on the road.
Yeah, and all we can say is, like, thank God we scored two goals. And I will still bet that the majority of the games Johnson plays, he'll have better games. Not a game like this. So I will take it. It was a one-off game from Johnson. It wasn't good. But I'm going to say he uses that as fuel for the fire. Comes out a home opener. Becomes a brick wall again, hopefully. And, you know, the future leading scorer of the MLS, Ebenezer Ofori, maybe puts in two more, you know?
Well, I mean, you talk about Ofori being the leader, but we might also be talking about the ringleader.
Yes.
There's a chance for New York! And count
it.
Alex Ring takes advantage.
I want to go back one second. Listen to this guy in the background yell, "He's offside!"
Takes advantage and makes New York's opportunities count.
I'm watching this too. It's a beautiful goal.
One more time.
Alex Ring.
He's offside.
Alex Ring takes advantage.
He's offside.
You gotta love the MLS. No, he wasn't offside. A beautiful, beautiful ball by Mitricia.
Treats.
Yes. Are the Tommy Pickles of NYCFC.
That's what we want to see. That's what we want to see from our captain.
Incisive. No, that's what I want to see from our, you know, a guy who's come in here, you know, to help create goals, is an incisive pass that sliced two lines of Orlando Banks of 4, found the ringleader who had a beautiful touch, maintain the ball, and you know, does what a leader of a team should do. Just slot it away, do your job.
I mean, like, it's beautiful. We got a guy to come in. He's as advertised so far. It's way too early to say anything, but I'm nothing but happy. And
I think he was saving his goal for Sunday.
Yeah, and how long did it take Alexander Ring to actually score a goal for NYCFC the majority of last season?
Not long.
Yeah,
I mean, a lot of the new guys were, you know, off the bat and running.
Yeah, and I feel like it took a while for him. And this is great that he's getting on the score sheet right away. We need more of his goals. We need him to step up and be more of a goal threat. And with Maxi Morales, Alex Ring, Treats, hopefully we can get some Tajori Sherardi and Jonathan Lewis in there. I think they can be very good, like wingers slash forwards, running down the side and causing mayhem.
We're still missing the tip of the spear.
I know.
We got everything else. We just need the tip of the spear. But, you know, it didn't end 2-1. You know, we got to play this.
Quickly taken, and here's Dom Dwyer in an open position. Inside is Tesho. If he can feed him, it's going to be a goal, and it is! Seconds. Nice pass, a lot of space to run. And then the cross is just perfect.
Perfect.
I just want to say something. I'm watching the highlights on a separate computer than what you're playing the audio, and that synced up perfectly with what I was watching.
Professional, like, as fuck.
Like, you don't even see my computer. I was freaking out over here because, like, now I'm watching. Now there's the audio. Perfect. All right. Anyway, that's the talent that we got on this podcast that I don't think anyone else has.
I told you, you're up for new and better things this year. New recording penthouse. I have a hard drive that doesn't crash on me.
I know we have a doorman.
Sponsor.
It's pretty sweet.
Ain't nothing getting past that doorman. Jesus Christ.
There is no Red Bull podcast that is going to be allowed in this building.
No, they can't afford this building.
Fun fact about our new studio is that on this floor, there is a fellow NYCFC fan.
That's beautiful. We should just go invite him right now.
I know. If you're listening right now, I'm in wait, no, I probably not.
You should know.
I should not say my apartment number. I'm in apartment 555555.
Big building. Huge building.
I'm on the 5,000th floor.
All right, so let's get a little reaction from the game. I think this is a good, you know, we were talking about, you know, Jonathan Lewis getting his shot, Mitrichia getting his shot, Ofori taking his shot and winning it. There was also another guy out there who was given a big shot, and that was our boy, the Sandman, who got a start in the opener for the first time in his career. This is what he has to say about the opportunity.
It's also really encouraging to know that their coach has that trust in you, and you just kind of want to repay that trust and continue to work in the games and training, and hopefully you can get some more games down the road.
How'd you feel? All right, so I think that's a good answer. And I think, you know, I hope I'm wrong about Dome. I really do. And right now he's kind of, you know, doing what I wanted him to do. He's bringing in the guys who deserve a shot. He's finally giving Lewis a chance, and I think it's a, you know, it's a good change from last year where he really just seemed to be isolating players and none of his tactics really made to make sense. But before we praise him too much, he did say this at the end of the game, and it made my blood boil.
You know what happened in the soccer? You expect about we need a striker, and everybody knows we need a striker. I know. But
everybody knows we need a striker. I know.
Sign
everybody
one.
Knows we need a striker. I know. Why didn't you sign a striker?
It's infuriating because the whole world plays soccer. I mean, we found some guy from Retreta that we paid $9 million for.
I'm excited about that, by the way.
Yeah,
but
we need a striker.
We need a striker. So that either means one thing. So he said, look, everybody said we need a striker. Everybody says we need a striker. I know we need a striker. So
get a striker.
Does that mean the club does listen to us and just, you know, will he hear you? Will he don't care?
I just think they weren't as aggressive as getting a striker as all the other aspects of the team. Like they're scouting, they're finding people that they like and they're going after them. And I almost feel like they just, like, after, like, they step back a little bit, like, oh, man, we just signed a lot of midfielders.
This is your typical, you're high on a Saturday afternoon, and you decide to do manager mode in FIFA, and you just sign a bunch of midfielders figuring you can play them anywhere.
And I promise I'm going to bring this back around, but I don't know if I've mentioned this on the podcast, but I am a San Diego Padres fan. Okay, I'm going to bring this back around. as a Padres fan who has perpetually heard, we're bringing up the young guys, bringing up the young guys, we're bringing up the young guys, it leads me to be wary that Domé is bringing up the young guys just a little bit. Just a little bit. Because like I don't want us to be rebuilding. I want us to be getting closer to that cup. And as much as I love Saints, and I think it is a good thing for this club to have academy players in the 18 and out there. We hopefully they produce, but we need to get some people in there to win games.
And before we close out the Orlando chapter and look to DC, I also want to say to all the people that are losing their minds over the fact that we blew a one goal lead. Don't get it twisted. We did not blow a two goal lead.
No,
we blew a one goal lead.
We blew a two goal lead.
We blew a one goal lead twice.
No. It was 2-0, and then they scored two.
Anyway,
he looks like Neymar after getting pounced out of the Champions League.
What? So we did blow a two goal lead, but
and this is the hard hitting podcast, and you've come here to expect
these are the facts, ladies the and facts. Gentlemen. We don't fake news. So we did blow a lead. We did
blew lead.
We lost 2 points, but if the last two seasons are a barometer for how like our lives in the MLS go, we don't want to start the season hot. We started the season hot for 2 years, and where did it get us at the end? Nowhere.
Bring on the ties.
Bring on the ties.
Bring the ties.
Bring on the boring away games to New England in April where we walk away with, you know, one more point.
Lukewarm.
I want us to be caliente like the fucking Halal Guys red sauce come October.
God, I have not had a Halal Guys in a long time.
Oh, my buddy, you're going to get a chance on Sunday.
No, I'm not. Stop rubbing it in. Oh. Everyone who is not going to the game on Sunday, come visit me at Harold's Restaurant in the Arlo Soho Hotel and make before the game. Like come in and make fun of me.
No one's going to do that.
No one's going to do that
because we have TIFOs to work on. We have preparations for the big game.
Good transition.
So let's take a look at the upcoming game. It is the home opener for the 2019 season, where the New York City Football Club Patrons go up against the crack smoking mayors of DC United.
Boom! 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 Let's have a quick moment of silence for my streak of going to home openers coming to an end this weekend. I've been to every single one. Oh, wait. I need a moment of silence.
Okay. All right. So we already talked about you, New York City FC, 2-2 draw against Orlando. DC United showed up and took their proverbial penises out and slapped Atlanta United in the face with a 2-0 victory.
It's impressive. It goes to show, and also with Atlanta losing in CONCACAF Champions League, how important Almiron was. Like, they just don't look the same. Yeah. Joseph Martinez is there, which also, if we're talking about FIFA 19, great pickup.
Hard to buy.
I got him in a pack.
Oh, we're talking about ultimate teams. I'm talking about manager.
Manager. Oh no, I'm an ultimate team. Good pickup. Anyway, moving on. The Atlanta looks anemic. DC United killing it on the first game. They're riding high. They had a topsy turvy season last season. Like first half of the season looking like shit.
A Leicester-esque season, you could say.
Yeah, they got Wayne Rooney, and all of a sudden it was playoffs, and then fell flat in the first game.
Yeah, that sounds familiar, doesn't it?
It does. It does, doesn't it?
So they, like we said,
but they got hot at the right time.
Oh, they got hot at the right time.
They just bottled it. Like
Tottenham style.
Woo! Hey, not in the Champions League. We'll get to that.
So yeah, a goal by Luciano Acosta and my new favorite player, Nipples, with a 2-0 victory. His name is Areola, but come on, he's Nipples.
I thought there was actually a player named Nipples.
In 2018, they drew against us and they beat us at their new stadium. So
we need to get down there.
We do need to get down there. Now that they finally got rid of the raccoons and the rails that try to kill announcers.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
And they actually opened the place.
It's supposedly beautiful. It was falling apart the first few games, but Washington, a great city.
Are they allowing the Barra Barras in yet, or are the Screaming Eagles still holding court in the supporter section?
I mean, I don't really pay attention to anyone other than the third rail. Okay. Because everyone outside the third rail is, you know, you saw the HuffPo.
A Nazi.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everybody outside the third rail is a Nazi.
You said it.
All right, so let's talk about the possible lineup for the game. Right now, MLS has us projected as a 4-3-3, front of Tajiri on the left, Mitrica on the top, and Lewis on the right with Morales playing as a 10. And I can see them almost trading off in a false nine situation, Treats and Morales.
Those first four, I love. Tajiri Sherardi, Lewis on the wings, like I was saying before, ton of speed, the ability to cross. Tajiri has the ability to cut in and score a goal. And Treats, if he keeps going the way he's going, I think he's going to get a lot of goals and getting fed by Maxi Morales and ring in the back. I love this.
Yeah, the key to that front four, you're right. The key to that front four is getting service to Mitrica, getting service to Morales. Absolutely. You're talking about speed. I mean, on the wings, it's right back, obviously, Anton Tinnerholm. So you know they're going to be playing off of each other. In the middle, we have Ring, obviously. And Sands looks like he might be getting the start. I would like to see Keaton Parks get a shot. But, you know, Domi kind of knows what Sands can bring to the table.
Aren't you worried that Keaton hasn't gotten a look yet? I mean, like, a fairly highly touted signing. U.S. international. I've heard a lot of chatter about him before he came to NYCFC about his talent. I know one game in, but I mean, like, you feel like a guy with his pedigree should be able to beat out the 17-year-old, 16-year-old, 17-and-a-half.
Not if the 17-year-old showing Sands. More.
It's true. Maybe Sands is the real fucking deal. Like, I don't know. Like, he showed he can hang in the starting starting 11. But let's see what this Ryan takes us.
Yep. And the back four, we already said Tinnerholm, and then it'll be Chanot and Collins, obviously, because that's the duo that's been working out best for us. And then Ben Sweat on the left, who I don't think played very well against Orlando, yet continues to get the start because, like we said earlier, Moderita's made of glass.
So they don't have a Foray in this lineup. Do you really think Domi keeps him out after scoring in the first game?
Oh, that's a good question.
After scoring the first game, playing fairly well.
I don't think it's a matter of keeping him in because of his offensive prowess in one game much as it's, you know, Collins and Chanot are our trusted defenders in a game that's going to have Wayne fucking Rooney in it.
I mean, I wouldn't imagine putting Ofori anywhere in this lineup.
I'd keep him on the bench for sure.
Yeah.
But I think, of course, this is also the MLS projection and how often are they right?
It's true. It's all projections. I think Domi will come out with something slightly different. I think Ofori starts again. Like, there's got to be in his mind, he played good, he scored a goal, we're keeping him in the lineup. I think we get disappointed Tajiri's not in it again. But I would
be stunned if he's not in the lineup. He's very good on the narrow field of Yankee Stadium.
And last season he was great. Like, last season he wasn't on the field enough for him.
He blew my expectations out of the water.
Yeah,
absolutely.
We need to see Lewis and Tajiri Sherardi serving up Matriza with Morales. It'll be electric, and we need to win this first game. We need to win at home.
We need to win at home. We need to beat DC United and tell them that their role should be slowed. Taking a quick look at the lineup for DC United, the three biggest threats I see, obviously Wayne Rooney up top, Acosta at 10, and then Nipples, Areola, on the right. Other than that, I mean, Rodriguez has speed. I don't know if we're going to see a lot of him on the narrow field because he needs space to work. But, I mean, Areola, Acosta, and Rooney have already set up. They're a dangerous trio. We know what they're already capable of doing from this season, and we know what they were capable of doing last season. So I wouldn't be shocked if we see this also ending in a draw. I think we're going to play this one very defensively and try to hold on to possession. I'm going to go again 2-2.
We have a very good record on home openers.
Hit me.
And we play good at home. And I will say this. If we have the lineup that MLS is projecting, the Sherardi, Lewis, Treats, Maxi up front, like, there's no reason we can't win 2-0. No reason.
There you go. I say 2-2. Bryce says 2-0.
One thing of note. Frederick Briant being a fixture – In DC United, I just find that very, very ironic because when he was here,
he was garbage.
He was garbage.
He was not brilliant, as they say.
I mean, like, right before we sent him away, he shorted up a lot when Maxime Chanot was hurt, I feel like. But I mean, good for him. Good for him. He's showing that he can play in the MLS.
Yeah, that's a scary team to be on.
It is. It's a scary team on paper, but they'll for sure be in the playoffs this year. Hopefully way below us.
But before we go to the game, we have a little bit of housekeeping to do because, you know, when you play hard, you need to work hard.
Boop, boop.
And right now we're also looking for some help. So any Third Rail members, go to the Facebook page, the closed group Facebook page. We are looking for TIFO painters to help finish up for the game on Sunday. Painting will be taking place at 9 a.m. on Saturday at the Randall's Island Gym. They're thinking it's going to take about, give or take, 5 hours to get everything completed. And from there, they're going to be going to Rockefeller Center to see the 24-hour game. Anybody wants to help out, direct message Andrew Tucker on the Facebook page or comment on the post. But what about this 24-hour game, Bryce? What do you got?
All right, 24-hour game, the second annual 24-hour game. This came up last year, and it was interesting. I wondered how it was going to go. And I mean, it's the whole gist is for 24 hours is a continuous game going on at Rockefeller Center. So hundreds of NYCFC fans signed up, and they had a whole 24-hour period where there was a continuous game. I believe it was Team Villa and Team Vieira last year. This year we have Team Ring and Team Maxi.
Ooh, a little civil war between players.
And it will be good. And I was interested to see how it happened last year, and it seemed like a success. And they're doing it again, which is good news. And this is a perfect, perfect thing for New York City, perfect thing for New York City FC and the fans. It's a good way for us to kick off the season. And what better way than to never sleep and play soccer for 24 hours? The news that we teased at the start of the show is that one of us would be playing. And you're goddamn right, it's me. I just got confirmed today for the 2 a.m. to 2:20 a.m. shift. So I expect a big crowd at 2 a.m. at Rockefeller Center. And it's going to be awesome. I don't know the teams. Do we say the teams? The teams with Maxi and Ring.
Yeah.
I don't know who would want to be on more.
It's a tough one. I mean, you're not going to be playing with them, so it doesn't really matter.
Maybe. No. Maxi and Ring have to be on the touchline the whole 24 hours. Shouting out instructions.
God, that's a terrible idea for the home opener.
Yes. Both of them there. They have an assistant feeding them 5-hour energy and Jolt Cola and 4 Locos. And they're going to be shouting out instructions to the players on the field. I mean, that'd be fun. That'd put some butts in the seats.
I would totally put some butts in the seats. So but, that is a little bit of housekeeping before the game tomorrow on Sunday. I don't know why I said tomorrow because we're recording this on a Thursday?
You're recording this on a Thursday.
I lost track of time. I'm
on
vacation.
As the crows fly.
I don't think that's how that works.
I mean, you know, maybe it is, maybe it isn't. Rome wasn't built in a day.
True, but I don't think it fits.
I can't think of another turn of phrase.
Well, anyway, so Sunday we got a big TIFO. We're going to need volunteers to help run it. Again, reach out to Andrew Tucker or Andy. A lot of Andrews and Andys that run the Third Rail. So just reach out to them, see if you guys can help out. They'll reach out to you and they will appreciate it. Other than that, go meet with your groups, go get hammered. Don't get too hammered because we got to be fucking loud, and we'll see you all on Sunday.
The full-time whistle, and Solskjaer has won it. And you've heard that somewhere before. What a night for Manchester United. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer has inspired them to one of their greatest ever European victories. We've not given a prayer after the first leg, and they've rolled into Paris and rolled over Paris Saint-Germain. It's a remarkable win against a team that hardly ever loses here. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer still has the Midas touch, but even by Manchester United standards, this is an astonishing win, Steve McManaman.
You scouse bastard!
The manager and the players deserve everything this evening. When they were under pressure, they changed it round and made sure that they blocked up certain chipmunks, stayed in the game, were very, very organised. And you that they'd get a snitch.
We're the greatest of English football. We've won it all.
Everyone, welcome the very annoying Man United fan, Connor. Back.
It's better than Nicky and Juve and his fucking footlocker outfit.
I don't count Nicky and Juve and you, Edgar, who just happens well, he is a Man United fan too, but he just happens to like several teams that have been
that are really storied good.
Histories. It's very lucky.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. You know, that's why I'm a real fan of 2 years running.
So if you live underneath a cave, you probably didn't know that Manchester United came in with a 2-0 deficit against them on aggregate, and Where's they PSG? Were able to beat PSG in Paris 3-1 on a very questionable VAR call, I will say.
A Neymar-less PSG.
Neymar was but shooketh.
It is a win nonetheless. And I've never been more pleased about a Man United victory because you got that iconic Neymar unpleaseth face.
That was the I left Barcelona for this face. Yeah. That was the I thought we were going to win everything. What happened face? That was the what? And what? No face.
And formerly of this podcast, Johnny P would be fully erect right now at the thought of seeing Gigi Buffon leave another Champions of League game getting knocked out.
What a beautiful
come back, Johnny P.
I was gonna say, what a great metaphor, by the way. The young Englishman stepping up against the storied and gifted veteran goalkeeper. It's kind of like, you know, it's your time to leave, Buffon. You're not winning anymore.
All right. We can stop stroking the cocks of Man United fans.
No,
talking about the real
three
real win.
Academy players in the field and we beat PSG.
Let's talk about the real win. You know, it's great coming down from two down, but you know, it was even better going in the second leg 3-0 and leaving 4-0. That Hurricane.
Very impressive.
With the away goal.
Here Dortmund. I am.
Yeah.
Rock you like a hurricane.
Like a hurricane. It was an exciting Champions League weekend, and
we're fucking amped.
We would be remiss if we did not talk about world football on this worldly podcast where we talk about MLS, Champions League, even sometimes the Series A, and what kind of apples we like. You know, we talk about everything.
Yeah, like Granny Smith.
You know, we had a truce that obviously Granny Smith was the in superior apple.
But it was more like an armistice arrangement.
Armistice. But anyway, Champions League. It was a wild, wild 2 days. Like PSG and Man United and also Dortmund and Tottenham, those could have gone either way and you could have made cases for both of them. Obviously, Man United, PSG ended more dramatically.
Everybody wrote United off, and so did I. Let's be honest. Everybody was hurt.
Yeah.
Paul Pogba was suspended. We had nobody in this lineup, and they found a way to make the most out of the mistakes that, let's be honest, a lazy PSG made.
And listen, Solskjaer has been doing a great job with Man U, and they're playing good. And you know, PSG being out of the Champions League is great for everybody. It's great for everybody. Same with Dortmund. I feel like we both did a service to the Champions League. And
well,
what I feel like the team that did the most service to the Champions League, Ajax. Defeating the reigning 3-time champions, Real Madrid, that is bonkers.
You know what they say, the bigger they are, the harder they fall. And Real Madrid has not had a harder fall the last week. Kicked out of the Copa del Rey. I think 11.
Copa del Rey. That's the Mexican term.
The Copa del Rey. Knocked out of the Copa del Rey. Knocked out of the Copa del Rey, knocked out of the Champions League, and I think they're 11 points off of first in, you know, Spain.
That's a Tijuana 5-on-5 beach soccer tournament, Copa del Rey.
That's a slapping for a team that's expected to be on top every year.
Yeah.
Well, it's like Ronaldo was the little boy with his finger in the dam, and as soon as he left, all the water just flew in on poor Netherlands.
Let's not be confused. Ajax is a great team.
Very good team.
They do nothing but produce young talent.
But it was nothing. David against Goliath.
It was. There's no reason they should have come out of that series a winner.
But soccer.
You watch that game. There was no fluke goals.
No.
Those were all legit good bangers goals left and right. Like they manhandled Real Madrid and really showed them who's boss. And like now they're in the quarterfinals.
Listen. Ajax fucked Real Madrid up so much, they're looking at Jose Mourinho as the new manager. So talk about
desperate ex-girlfriend. You know,
Well, I mean, he's all about respecting the trophies. I win three.
Oh, Jesus.
Respect me.
And the last one, I didn't watch it. Did you watch Roma versus Napoli?
I watched the ending of it.
Porto.
Porto.
Yeah, Porto.
Porto.
I'm an asshole.
We are 2 for 2 today. You're
good. Yeah, good. I caught mine.
So I caught the end of it because they switched over on TNT to it after the United game. That game was bananas. It went into extra time, and at the end of extra time, who rears his ugly head again? VAR.
VAR.
We forgot to mention that's why United won. A VAR handball call that really wasn't a handball.
Debatable, very debatable. But listen, the only thing I can dream and hope is that our European brothers, and I hear you out there. We have listeners from the Netherlands, okay? Our European brothers, I hope you get the joy that we get from shouting VAR. VAR.
You got to do the arm movement. Yeah, so you got to make the box with your hands.
VAR. It is one of the most fun things to do in a stadium is shout VAR.
Listen.
And then when it actually happens, it's bananas. It's great.
There's no better feeling than a VAR call going your way, and there's no more demoralizing feeling than a VAR call going against you. The VAR giveth, and the VAR taketh away.
Listen, how else is America going to influence world soccer? We gave you the referee with the white spray paint can that disappears into the grass.
I think that was actually the South American.
No, I'm fairly certain it's MLS. Okay. Or at least American soccer. You can double check me. And now we're giving you VAR.
You're welcome.
What else do you want?
Okay. You're welcome.
We're also giving you an exciting league in the MLS that you watch it.
What's
you
next?
Watch it, love what, it.
Next thing you're going to see is City Beats at Man City and a halal guy outside.
I know. Then we're gonna get bought out by a billionaire, New York City football club, and then we're going to buy Manchester City.
Oh, the tables will turn.
The tables shall turn.
And we'll get Aguero.
When that oil money dries up.
Oh, yes.
I hope it never dries up.
Oh, I hope so. I hope oil reigns supreme forever.
I hope we have it forever. Thank you, our City Group overlords.
Oh, always. You are the best, and we appreciate everything. And we appreciate you, our loyal listeners, as we close out another wonderful episode.
Whoa. You pop that the fuck down. We did not do our shout-outs.
Well, that's where the music's going.
Yeah, I know.
Shout it out.
You were trying to overplay my shout-out.
Just shout it out.
You go first.
I don't have one.
You don't have one?
Not now.
All right. Franmil Reyes hitting a bomb today in spring training.
Soccer
podcast. So did Hudson Potts. The Padres are going to win the World
Your
Series.
Your microphone is still on. You were just peeking.
Oh, the Padres are going to win the World Series.
No, they're not. It's going to be the
It's going to be
again.
Great. This is going to turn into an all San Diego podcast.
All right, so I lied. I did have a shout-out. Shout-out to everybody who helped work on the TIFO, is working on the TIFO, going to help set up the TIFO on Sunday. We will see you all there. This is Third Rail New Jersey behind enemy lines. We out.
Machado!